Hello, dreamers. This is Janine.
And Stephanie.
Welcome back to the Course of Course podcast. This is episode 9.
Wow.
We are moving along.
Yes, we are.
Very excited about this one because on our last podcast, we talked that we were going to go to a conference this week.
Yes.
And we did indeed go.
Yes, and it was our heroes.
It was our heroes. It was the Awakening to Love's Presence with Gary and Cindy Renard conference in a private residence, which was lovely, actually. It's a really nice setting. There's about 40 people there.
Workshop.
Yeah, it was a workshop. Conference may be too big of a word. Exactly, it was a workshop. But the nice thing about it, it was really course-focused.
Yes, I noticed a huge difference of them coming from the Holy Spirit. I've just felt so much love from them and the dynamic. The feeling. Cindy talked a lot about tuning into your feelings and using those as a guide to what's going on, like something might be off. And my feeling at this weekend was just pure love and ecstasy.
We've been to two now.
We've been to two.
We have two under our belts.
Mm-hmm.
This one, I agree with you. I thought it was fantastic. I was so glad when we were driving home that we went and attended it. So let's go to the beginning. This was hosted by Gary and Cindy Renard. And one of the nice things about this conference, I keep saying conference.
That's all right.
Workshop.
Event.
A gathering was the fact that they were very much zoned into the course. And that's exactly what we were looking for.
Yeah, they owned it. They could refer to it. And they are it.
So let's walk our listeners through what happened for the day. So how did this open up?
I don't remember. But I do. I have some notes. Okay, go for it then.
I remember. Both Cindy and Gary were there. And they had, I don't know, a small area, I guess, where they were sitting and talking to us. The way they opened it, which is lovely, Cindy actually sang a song.
Yes.
Which, if anyone has heard Cindy Renard, and if you haven't, you should go. She's an amazing singer. She's got amazing vocal quality.
An angel.
It was nice to start off with that kind of energy. I really appreciated that.
Yeah, it set us grounding into giving it to the Holy Spirit.
I think Cindy was etheric almost. And it really set the tone for the day.
Yes. We had a meditation, I think.
We did. And then Cindy started to talk about specific places in the Course in Miracles. She pulled out her big blue book, the Course in Miracles hard copy. And at that moment, I thought, why didn't I bring my big blue book with me? I usually read it off my iPad because I can bump up the font. But yeah. I would have liked to have the book. I just didn't think about it. That's what happens when you get a little older. You forget things like that.
I'm a digital girl now, so everything's digital.
Me too. Welcome to 2014. So in that first section that Cindy talked about, specifics in the Course in Miracles, did you have any thoughts or did you take any notes during that time?
Well, my notes were she shared with us chapter 30, which I looked up today. I think there was only 31 or 32 chapters, so it was really at the end. Rules of Decision, which has to do with a daily practice of how you want to create your day and being in the space of maybe not knowing what's for your highest good and just giving the whole thing over to the Holy Spirit, Jesus.
I really appreciated that because we were talking earlier that although we've heard it because we have listened to the audio of the course many times, it was nice for her to point that out because I haven't really gone through page by page. And she is a master at this, and so is Gary. They truly are course teachers.
Yes, they are. And she said it could just take 5 minutes, just a 5-minute beginning of the day, meditation, setting up your day with the Holy Spirit. And then just having faith.
She also talked about a meditation. I think it was a song of meditation that she and Gary had done. And they played that for us. And then we meditated for 5 minutes after that. We just took a 5-minute quiet time, which is really lovely because I had said before, I'm not the best person when it comes to meditation.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy for me to get distracted. And I really appreciated that they sort of brought the entire room with them through that meditation.
Yeah. It's that thing in the back, like the song, forgotten song.
The song of prayer.
Song of prayer. That's what it was. And her being musical, I think, and I always have resonated with music and I can find meditation and solace and lots of things out of music. But in the prayer, I think it's about getting beyond, like connecting, inviting them and getting out into an arc of light and like just beyond and just being there without any expectation, with no questions and no asking.
I'm always looking for ways in which I can adopt or adapt the way I am looking at the course to my daily life. And I appreciated when she was talking about this and making decisions in the beginning of your day. It's very simple. How do I want to feel today? Yeah, what do I want to do today?
If we get off track, to just go back and say, okay, I just made a choice about something that might not be coming from the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to return this to the ego and Holy Spirit. I still don't know what's the best thing for me to do in this situation, but I'm giving it to you.
Gary had this great comment. He said, sometimes I don't have enough time or focus in the morning to go through a whole prayer ritual. So I'll just say, hey, Jesus, you got me? Let's go. Right. I love that. It doesn't have to be this big ritual, was his point.
Yeah. I wrote down a couple things here. Recognize that you have a feeling that feels off. Invite the Holy Spirit. Have a little willingness to look at it differently. Remember that the ego attracts guilt and that it wants to make things real. So the most loving thing to do, say, or be is to trust that once we give it over, that it's being taken care of. And have faith. And part of the problem is that we have the belief in the tiny mad idea about the world and the ego. And we just need to train ourselves to listen to the Holy Spirit instead of to the ego.
Also, what Cindy talked about is decide what your day will have, what feelings you wish to experience in your day. And she had said that Jay mentioned that clarification of the goal belongs in the beginning. So clarify in the morning. What do you want to have to do today? How do you want to feel today?
There's so many great things in the course. I mean, all the answers are there.
Yeah, you just have to keep reading it. She also said the key is to want an answer that will work. Sometimes we'll get an answer that won't necessarily work. So we just have to keep asking.
Because it doesn't fit our idea of how it's supposed to be.
Correct.
And that's kind of the crux of it, is we need to let go of all of our ideas of how I'm supposed to feel, or think things that I think I have to say, or even if it's pointing out to someone that they're wrong, like just let everything go. Just let kind of melt it away and just give it away.
Yeah. And she said, Jay said, if you get off track, remember the day that you want. Remember when you made those decisions in the morning, the day that you wanted. Just keep going back to that. And it gives definition what to do if you're off track.
Yes.
Very important, right?
There's
I don't know about you.
There's a lot of detail in there.
Right, but I get off track a lot.
Oh, all the time.
Even in this podcast. At least I can decide what I want to feel is another thing. I can decide what I want to feel. But what I want to feel is the goal that I laid out in the morning when I woke up.
And to live above the battleground was something I wrote down that they kept saying over and over. And I think there's this idea of being conceited or an air about them or me, or I'm afraid of that. But that's just the ego. And really, there is a Zen-like quality when we're living above the battleground and being with God instead of with the ego.
I think Gary mentioned Bill Thetford, who was the companion to Helen Schuckman when Helen was scribing the course, had said, there's got to be a better way. There just has to be a better way. And what is the harm in asking, really?
There is no harm in asking.
There's no harm in asking.
Well, that's one of the things I walked away with this time, is I feel like there's a spiritual maturity, or a maturity that's needed to look within. Not everybody's got that. Like Gary said, the course isn't for everybody.
That's true.
It's pretty sophisticated. You have to want it.
I did appreciate the validation he had said with all us being there in the room, that usually by the time you're toward the end of your life cycle, that's when you start looking to the course. So it's nice to hear that.
Yeah, it was.
And for those listeners, I'm sure you're already doing the course, but if you're just kind of tentatively looking at it, it can really change your life. I know that you probably hear this from other areas, maybe religion or something else, but I can say that having gone through many, many things, the course is it. It's it for me. One of the things that Cindy had mentioned, a quote from the course, is that your forehead should be serene and your eyes are quiet.
Oh, I loved that when she said that. Yeah.
Forehead serene, eyes are quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's peace and the losing the sense of attachment, because attachment leads to suffering. The Buddhists have long talked about this. Don't get attached. And I'm starting to understand that a little. Gary had mentioned at some point that it's best to just kind of hover above everything.
Mm-hmm.
And move forward. Don't get too attached to what's really going on.
That's living above the battleground.
Yes.
Because that's what it is if you're not in heaven. It's a war going on.
We have friends who are going through relationship issues. I definitely do. And I'm trying to not get attached to outcome, not get attached to giving my opinion, because it really doesn't matter. But it's also fascinating kind of watching it from an objective perspective and realizing, you know, that there's got to be a better way, as Bill Thetford said. We see relationships, not just romantic relationships, but work relationships, which I'm definitely in, and other relationships, sibling relationships. It's important, although it's challenging, to just be like, okay, it's all right. You know, let go of whatever conflict is going on because it doesn't exist anyway. We get too attached to it.
Well, the course talks a lot about being the victim or the victimizer. Mm-hmm. So it seems like that's really our only options. The only other option is a holy relationship, and that would require both people being aware, awaken.
Mm-hmm. How lovely. You know, if you can find a romantic relationship with somebody else who, kind of like Cindy and Gary, they're kind of at the same level of understanding, and that is definitely a holy relationship.
Yeah, it's a great example. It's good to know they exist, but I think that probably 99% of all experiences are not that. It is the warring, victim, victimizer, the circle just continuing over from lifetime to lifetime.
Sure, it's a battleground.
Yeah.
So in third dimension, in this ego soup that we are in, it is very challenging because duality is the rule down here on Earth, this mm-hmm. crazy planet. So the trick is to understand that it's happening. Know that you certainly have to interact with duality, but not get so attached that you forget that you're not really part of this and it isn't real. The isn't real part is still a challenge. What does that mean? It isn't real when we're experiencing something is to us is very real. When we were driving back from the workshop, we had a slight close call on the highway.
Twice,
right? So that would have been very real. If something had happened.
It would have, but we invited the Holy Spirit to surround us as we left. And I kind of had a feeling going into the drive home that something was going to happen. So I felt like I had enough space between. But the way that one particular happened with the five cars, I mean, it could have been a pileup, but two of us just pulled into the inner lane. And it was just so instantly. And it's like I remember the Holy Spirit being with me in that moment, looking at the back of the cars coming at me, looking at the cars in front of me and almost pounding into them and just being guided. It was like butter. It happened so easily and effortlessly. It just was not an accordion smash up.
Right.
It was something else.
And it goes back to, you know, how do we want our day to be? How do we want this journey to be? So on some level, you're like, I want to have a safe and pleasant drive home. You did state it, I believe, and we were completely fine. So it just goes to show you, listeners, that really it's that small intention can make a huge difference.
They mentioned intention. They mentioned doing your homework. Like, it's simple, but you have to apply yourself.
Right. And you also have to believe it, too. It's one thing just saying the words and filling up space with noise, but it's another thing truly embracing and inviting the Holy Spirit into your daily life. So after the first section, which is really Cindy going through the Course in Miracles kind of text and pointing out specifics, Gary talked for, I believe, 45 minutes, maybe an hour, and he gave us more kind of experiential, more of life story stuff. I really appreciated that cadence that they had where she really brought it down to specifics in the course, and Gary did too. But I think Gary, because he had written the books and was able to kind of talk more about what was happening with Art and Impersa, which is lovely as well. Art and Impersa are not mentioned in the course, obviously, but it's nice having that. Oh, okay. Yes, I understand what you're talking about. And then we had lunch.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about lunch?
It was vegan. It was raw. It was yummy and interesting. And I was happy to be nourished.
Good. I'm glad. It was very kind. I think the two people that were hosts were Suki and Suzanne, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
It was lovely that they arranged that lunch. It was also really nice to have 40 people traipsing in their house.
That's for sure.
You know, it's a very kind thing to do. And they basically created a space I thought was pretty sacred and mm-hmm. comfortable considering how many people were in there.
Yeah, I'd like to go again next year.
I would too. It sounds like they had it there a year prior. So hopefully this is a pattern now. And now we know where we're going, which is lovely. So after lunch, it went back to the similar cadence where Cindy opened it up and she opened it up with the song again, which is really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then she talked a little more about what was going on with the Course in Miracles. And Gary talked,
She talked about her brother?
She did talk about her brother. I really liked that story. Her brother-in-law, actually.
Are you sure?
No, stepbrother.
Stepbrother.
It was her stepbrother. Her stepbrother passed in January of this year in 2014. And she talked about having a dream and meeting up with him in the dream state. And then feeling very nourished and happy when she woke up. Like, oh, okay. She gave us more details about her stepbrother. I just don't want to get into too many details, more her story. Yeah. But it was really nice to have that validation.
The afterlife and peacefulness and orgasmic heaven.
Right. And we had both read a companion book, I guess, called The Afterlife of Billy Fingers, which talked about the same type of thing. So it's nice to have validation. Mm-hmm. I love hearing it from different sources.
Definitely.
Yeah. So there definitely is a pattern there. Cindy went on to talk more about the course and specifics of the course. I think she gave us some steps on how to transform ourselves if we're in a funk. That was nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gary again talked from his experience and with the books and Arn and Persa. We did talk to him briefly, and he had said that there's definitely a fourth book coming out. So
yay,
listeners, we're going to get another one.
And we also told him we need audiobooks for 2 and 3.
Yes, Stephanie was very clear that we need audiobooks for 2 and 3.
And he wants them to have the complete book.
Yeah, the first one was abridged. It didn't have the entire book. So it would be nice to have all of it.
It might be 12 CDs, but in a digital world, it's just one big old file.
Mm-hmm.
Or like the course text, that's 3 files. They're 8 hours each. I mean, whatever it is what it is.
We did talk to a couple, and I believe they were from Portland, and they had told us that they were listening to Disappearance of the Universe on CD. So they were listening to it on an audio, too. I just think that there's a certain percentage of the population that would prefer it on audio.
Definitely.
And we are in that population.
Yeah, because we're driving in cars so much.
Yeah, especially in Los Angeles. I love the books. I will always download books because I'm a huge reader, but it's so nice to also have the audio.
Yeah, because we can't read while we're driving.
It's a little challenging. We don't want that to happen. And then at the end of the day, Gary and Cindy had a question and answer period, which I thought they were fantastic with that. You had the first question out of the gate.
I finally got to get my question in and answered about when we're all one, the mind to me seems healed. It's all one. Why aren't we all one returning to heaven? Why is the timeline and the suffering continue?
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when he said there was 2 types of time. Take it away.
So he talked about linear time and holographic time. And he said holographic time is anything can happen in an instant. Linear time, in the course, they talk about a small tick of time. The problem is this tiny mad idea basically separated us from God, and that small tick of time got divided over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. So that very, very small tick of time became millennia and centuries and decades and years and months, days, hours, minutes. Now all of a sudden we have thousands and thousands of earth years between us. So what we don't want to do is follow the linear time model. We want to go to holographic time. It's challenging when we talk about time because those two concepts sort of don't make any sense together. How can time be both holographic
and
linear at the same time? Because we are so attached to third dimension Earth existence, we are born from that moment on Earth thinking about time as a linear concept. But in reality, it's holographic.
Well, it's that thing again that's pretty simple. Is it ego or is it God? And linear time is ego-based, mm-hmm. and holographic time is eternity, and that's heaven, and that's God.
Right, and the real goal of the course is to forgive whatever issues you have, to heal the ego, and to transcend. And the faster you can do that, the more time vectors basically collapse.
Yay, and collapse.
And then you go back to God. Which I think anybody who first reads that is probably like, what are these people smoking? That just sounds crazy. But after a while, you start to really understand it. And we talked about Alex Marchand's book. Mm-hmm. I think it was the third book of his, the second in the Undreaming Chronicles. He talks about time, and he does a fantastic job explaining it.
Great illustrations. Gary also added that when you have no more questions, like all the questions are answered, because the ego is the one that's always questioning. So when there's no more questions, then you know that you're back in heaven.
And I can't wait for that.
Yeah. And that was good to hear, too, that it's okay that some of us are popping and some of us aren't, because it's just the dream. And when we are back in heaven, the dream is over. We are all together because we did never leave. And it's just that tick of time that the tiny mad idea lived in. So I feel complete.
One of the things I also liked, it was something that Gary mentioned, that there are going to be people in our lives who just know everything and that's just how it is. And they are never going to change. There's nothing you can say to change them. They're just always going to be right. And the most you can do is just love them and let them go. You just need to let them go. Don't be attached to them being annoying. He specifically talked about, you know, there are going to be times at work where you're going to be around someone who is like that. Is very ego-driven. I know I'm experiencing that. I've been experiencing that for a while. I really appreciated that. It's these little tidbits mm-hmm. that we hear. It's like, oh, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, for me, all the answers are in the course. I just want to keep doing the lessons and reading the text.
One of the challenges I have is the more I learn about the course, the more I don't want to do anything but read it. Mm-hmm. But I've got all this other stuff going on in my, quote, real world. And we were talking today that sometimes we feel like there's not enough time in the day because we're distracted by things like cleaning and grocery shopping and putting gas in the car, et cetera, et cetera. But I can't wait until I get to the point where the main event for me during the day is the course. And the other stuff is, how can I schedule that other stuff in? I feel like I'm trying to schedule in the course with the other stuff taking precedent.
And we have to schedule it in, otherwise it won't happen.
Right.
And there are days that go by when it doesn't. I mean, well, something happens. I always read it in the morning and I always read it before I go to bed.
So we'll see. Hopefully sooner than later, it will become much more of a habit.
Yeah, they did talk about that, didn't they?
Like, they really kind of talk about repetition. I think they repeated that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to be vigilant. You have to keep doing it. This isn't that easy. It's not that it's challenging intellectually. It's just a behavior thing we have to continue to create.
Yeah, where am I thinking from?
Mm-hmm.
It's truth or illusion.
Okay. Do you have any closing thoughts, Stephanie, on this edition of the Course Podcast?
No, just keep doing the work.
And thank you again, Cindy and Gary Renard. It was really such a pleasure to be in that workshop. I felt so much more centered and appreciative of their work and who they are. It's nice to have that kind of, we had the pleasure of being around, these are really advanced teachers.
They sure are. It's like being with, you know, the disciples.
Yeah, I mean, it is
like
indeed.
My energy was altered from it.
I do too. I mean, thank you very much, listeners. It's been a pleasure bringing this to you. Again, if you have any questions or would like to give us comments, please go to thecourseofcourse.com or thecourseofcourse.blogspot.com. You can get to us both ways. You can leave us a comment. You can also download these podcasts and let us know if you'd like any other content to be provided to you, and we will get right on it.
And tell us what your favorite books are if we haven't already talked about them.
Oh, yeah, we love that. All right, thank you very much, listeners. Have a great day.